Please be seated, my friends. Well, we're taking up the second part of this eight-part series on God's big picture, where we're looking at the Bible and the whole story, this one story, with assuming, if we think back to last week, that the Bible is one book with the one divine author, one subject, and one story. And that the theme is the establishing of the kingdom of God. And that the Bible is all about the way in which God does that from the beginning, from creation, throughout the life of people and of this world. And that he sets up and establishes a pattern of God's people living in God's place under God's rule and God's blessing. And so last week we saw that pattern of the kingdom was a series of perfect relationships between God and his people, people and creation. This one author, one subject, Jesus Christ, and the one story of God's plan to save the world through the Lord Jesus. But today, in today's reading from Genesis 3, we're introduced to a new subject, God, humankind, and now Satan. And perhaps the first question comes, well, where did evil come from? Where did Satan come from? Now, if we know that God is the sovereign, that he has made this creation, he is the Lord of this creation, that God is holy, holy, the holy being, and that he is all-loving, then God could not have created evil. So ideas about, well, there's two sides and they're equal, there's the good side and the bad side, is not a Christian idea. The Christian understanding is that God is supreme. So it must be that Satan was part of God's creation. And from 2 Peter and from the book of Jude, we have this understanding of a rebellion that happens in the angelic world, the heavenly places, and that idea that Satan is one who rebelled against God, and so it's a fallen angel we talk about, or in Revelation you see a picture of Satan falling. So this idea that before there was rebellion on earth, there was rebellion in heaven, and in the shape of a snake, we see that introduced this morning. What we know is that God, by his word, has been showing his authority over the world. Remember, he created by speaking it. He spoke and light came into being, life came into being, and that he shaped humankind and breathed into them life. So God oversees and rules the world by his word. And you'll notice that Satan's tactics are all about distorting God's word, questioning God's word, and distorting God's motives. So first of all, he distorts God's word by saying to Eve, did God really say that you cannot eat of anything, any tree in this garden? A little bit of doubt put in her mind. Did you hear clearly? And she puts him right and says, no, that's not what God said. We can eat of any tree except the one. So where the one about the knowledge of good and evil. You notice that Eve actually adds to it. She says, we're not even allowed to touch it. That's not what God said. So the distortion of God's word has made a little uncertainty perhaps for Eve. Satan's tactics to go, did God really say? Can you really remember? And then we get the little illusion, perhaps what God said isn't really true. Oh, Eve, you won't die. In Genesis 3 verse 4, you will not die. You're just going to become like God and know about good and evil. And then we see that Satan distorts God's motives. God just doesn't want you to be like him. He wants to limit you. He doesn't want you to know about the difference between good and evil. And so we see that Satan is trying to say to Eve that God's word isn't really very clear, it's probably not really true, and it's certainly not fair. God doesn't want you to be and to know all that he is and knows. And so this niggling leads to an act of rebellion by God's people. It's interesting about the idea of knowing. Oh, that doesn't really, you can't really read some of that. But the knowledge of good and evil is about deciding what is good and evil. It's not just a, oh yes, I now know what God's word says and means. It's saying, actually, I think when I've read it, I can make the decision about what is good and what is not. So that, and the writer of the book, God's Big Picture, A Bible Overview, Vaughan Roberts suggests that the rebellion of humankind against God was not just breaking the law, which is sometimes what we think, isn't it? The Ten Commandments, yep, do I always live up to them? But it's actually about law making. To say, I reckon we could make a fair fist of deciding what we should do here. You don't need to go back and look at God's word about it. You know, he's made us to be pretty clever. He's given us minds that can think. We could make up our own minds about this. We don't need that reference. And so the way in which this story in Genesis 3 is wanting to take us to the place where humankind began to say, we think we can make up our own minds. They have heard the disturbance in their own thinking. And instead of turning to God to say, God, can you just remind us? We mightn't have got it right. No, we've heard the snake. We're going to take his word for it. We're going to make up our own minds. And so there is a break in the way creation was intended. That perfect relationship with God. It becomes broken. And what we saw as being the perfect relationships now become broken relationships. Firstly, that relationship between men and women, they covered up to cover their nakedness. They felt shame in front of one another. They felt an embarrassment. They needed to hide. And they began to disagree. The relationships between people were broken. The relationships with the creation were broken. We hear that God says that the ground will now be cursed because of what you have done. It will be painful toil to eat food from it. It seems that before, yes, there was work to be done in partnership with God, that work that we all do to make vegetable gardens grow and to make our roses bloom. But when you're having to hit the hard clay or say, there's still a rocks in this garden after I've dug it over for 5 years, or the aphids are eating my roses, it becomes something that's a difficult thing to do. It has its challenges. And then we abuse the creation in ways that mean it's not operating the way God intended. There's a brokenness between man and woman, that pain in childbirth, shame between men and women, power struggles between men and women. And now there's brokenness between human beings and with creation, as instead of following God's ways and understanding God's ways, we put our laws in place. And then there's a brokenness between the relationship between human beings and with God himself. And all of this leads, instead of to life and to goodness, we now have the spread of sin and death. There's a broken relationship with God. God, in order to protect humankind from eating of the tree of eternal life, and so living an eternal life in a brokenness, puts a guard to the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden representing all that was perfect in the relationship. And God says, I cannot let you walk into eternal life carrying that sin. I have to do something about that. So while we're doing something about that, and that's what the rest of the Bible is all about, after the first three chapters, God puts a guard and says, we will not eat of the tree of life until I put in place the things that will bring you eternal life. And so Adam and Eve got walk out into the world that has become a broken place, a place where it's going to be toil and trouble in order to feed your family, to make a go of things, where there's going to be power struggles about who'll have the land and who eats the produce of the land and who's going to build and who's going to achieve and who does it belong to anyway. And as you read on into Genesis, the theme of sin and death is introduced and just keeps going forward. Chapter 4, Cain murders Abel. And we're told the blood cries out. Genesis 5, we hear the sons of Adam and the grandsons and the grandsons and the recurring phrase, and then he died. And then he died. It seems that was not to be the pattern of a perfect creation. I don't know what happened. We don't know what a world without sin and its fullness might look like. But death and the end of life didn't seem to be in the plan, a separation from God. In Genesis 6 to 9, we meet Noah, the only one called righteous in a whole generation of wickedness. The whole world looked wicked, and God said, I'm going to destroy it. This is a huge mistake. And yet, I will save Noah and animals, and we have the story of the building of the ark. And if you don't remember anything else from Sunday school, that's probably one of the things that you remember very exactly, how God set about still having a salvation hold on those who are made in his image. An image that may be marred, but an image of God. These are precious. Humankind is precious to God. And so as God destroys and looks for a new start, he keeps humans in that new start. And the animals and the creation. But after the flood, as humans multiply, we come across them in the Tower of Babel, where they are building a tower to go to reach the heavens so they can climb up and talk with God directly. We can be as high as God and as good as God. We can know as much as God. In fact, we could be God. And God said that may not happen. And the thing that had brought people together and which they had used not to seek after God, God breaks down and scatters people. And how does he do that? By changing their languages. so that people groups can no longer talk to one another and understand one another. And so people grabbed the ones that were like them and spoke like them and moved off. And so people moved and took their language and their culture with them, and the world was dispersed. A world that is confused and broken. A world that is nothing like the pattern of the kingdom that God intended. So that we now don't have God's people. There are scattered individuals who may well be still serving the Lord. But as a people, there aren't any. We have them banished out of the place, and there is no one place where people are gathered as God's people. And they are living up under a time of disobedience and curse from God. Yes, that's why this is a study for Lent. It's a heavy thing to be carrying the brokenness of the world. A heavy thing to today be God's people further on, living in a time of hope, but still in a kingdom that is perishing without the Lord Jesus. We know that the answer that God has in mind, and we're going to walk through the story that takes us to the advent of the Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We know those things. We live in those times where God has broken in to this perishing world and has brought a way of hope. And next week we will look at how God begins that process with the promised kingdom. But there's a great gravity about the fact that the promised kingdom and the perishing kingdom are side by side in the world that we live in. And that we're called to be his people in a world that doesn't know him. Many parts of the world where there is no mention of the Lord Jesus, where it's not a person understood. It's not a relationship that is understood. It's the reason we're here, is to be able to show that light as our opening prayer led us, that we might be people of light, like God is the God of light. So while you ponder these heavy things about relationships, broken relationships, and God promising to fix this, might you also keep hold of the hope we have in the Lord Jesus this week. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have given us your word written down, your word spoken, your word revealed to us by your Holy Spirit, so that we might understand your character, your plan, the ways that you work, the ways in which you want to have relationships with us, and for us to have relationships with one another and the world around us. Lord, as we are sobered by how the world has fallen from the protection and the perfection that you had planned for it, Lord, as we bear that, we want to also be people who know hope, the hope in the Lord Jesus. Lord, strengthen and renew our relationships with Jesus this week. Might we know the presence of the Lord Jesus with us and in us. Might we see the image of God in those around us, those who know you and those who don't. Might we be encouraged by the relationships we have with those who know you. Might we build one another up in knowing that And Lord, might we bear your light to those who still live in darkness. And might we declare and show in our lives and in your word the glory of God to them. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.